Welcome to The Connected Life. The Connected Life with hosts Travis and Carrie Fry is all about helping you live a more connected life. They want you more connected to God, self, spouse, family, community, and to the world at large. It is their belief that the more connected you are, the holier and healthier you will be. So stay tuned to The Connected Life with your hosts Travis and Carrie Fry as they explore all facets of what it means to live the connected life.
Welcome to The Connected Life, a ministry of Crossroads Counseling on Family Values Radio, 1010 KXXT. I'm your host, Christian counselor Travis Fry, joined by my wife and co-host Carrie Fry.
We are a husband and wife team that together combine our training in both psychology and theology and our real life experience to bring you The Connected Life.
The Connected Life is all about intimately connecting with and loving both God and others. So it is September 19th, and yesterday, you know, that was a pretty significant day in my life.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Travis turned 40.
Yeah, so I am, if I live to be 80, right, which maybe that's the average lifespan for an American male, maybe like somewhere around there, I think, right? If I live to be 80, then my life is half over. So what am I going to do now? What am I going to do now?
So my
40th birthday was yesterday, and today we're going to take some time to celebrate. And you know, turning 40, Carrie, as you know, like maybe a few months, maybe even a couple of years before turning 40, I was like, yeah, I'm ready for that.
Oh my goodness, you're like 32. I'm turning 40 soon. Honey, why are you looking, why are you so worried about it already?
Well, I wasn't really worried about it back then. I was looking forward to it, you know, like with age comes wisdom and understanding.
Yeah.
But then like this weird thing happened like a few months prior to my birthday yesterday. I just started getting really like, I don't know, like panicked and anxious and like doing a lot of reflecting and like, oh my God, I'm turning 40. Like, what have I done with my life? You know? And, you know, through that really came to a couple of conclusions. Well, I don't know if a couple of conclusions, but maybe some reminders of things that, you know, what really is important, what really means the most, what really matters to me. And in a roundabout way, came to two conclusions, and that is that what I'm really longing for, what really matters to me is a place of belonging, right? Like family, friends, community, church, those things. And to have my life be purposeful, to have my life count, you know, especially for God and the Lord, and to fulfill and to do whatever He's called me to do. And in turning 40, realizing that those two things are really what every human being really wants, right?
Yeah.
Is belonging and purpose. And I think what's helped me to kind of relax a little bit and settle in is knowing that, okay, even though I may look at my life and see shortcomings, I can also say, wow, like God has really blessed me with people who know me, who love me, who care about me, that place of belonging, that community, which is what The Connected Life is really all about. And He's called me into, He's called me to do good, right? And of course, there's a lot more to do. But I think that in many ways, He's allowed me to serve out what He has called me to be and called me to do. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, what else can I ask for? You know, and also in turning 40 and just reflecting on my life, one of the things that I really have been sensing that God has been calling me into is a deeper relationship with Him, deeper relationship with other people, that belonging again, that community, and a deeper relationship with God. And almost, what would this be now, like maybe 18 years ago, 17 years ago, when we were, I think, just right around the time that we finished college,
Yeah, we right were, after we graduated.
Yeah, we were with our group, community that we had back then. We still know a lot of those people. We were with them, and we were reading a book called Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster. And pretty profound book. Really had a big impact on me. But somewhere along the way, somehow, I kind of lost focus of what he was talking about in that book. And I just have this sense that God has been calling me to live a more disciplined life. Now, when we talk about discipline, what are some of the words that come up in your mind?
I know my kids would come up with, they're going to be punished, punishment.
That's the way that I used to view discipline a lot, right?
Yeah.
Punishment, kind of like a real negative connotation. And a lot of people in our society really do have that negative connotation of the word mm-hmm. discipline. They think of that and it's like, ugh, discipline, right?
Fearful. You don't want to be disciplined.
Right. Exactly. But Foster really takes a whole different approach with discipline. He talks about it's the celebration of discipline. And when he talks about it in his book, he talks about the disciplines and specifically the spiritual disciplines, and we're going to get into those in a moment here. He talks about those as being a way not to be punished or to be like restricted, to have confines on you, but actually by living a disciplined life or engaging in the spiritual disciplines, it actually leads to freedom.
Yeah.
Freedom in Christ and freedom from a lot of the things that honestly keep us held down and keep us in bondage. And so through discipline, it's one of those paradoxes that you all often find in Scripture, right? Through discipline and engaging in the spiritual disciplines, you ultimately find freedom. And so God has been calling me to live this more disciplined life. He's been calling me to engage in more of the spiritual disciplines. And I think he's doing that because he wants me to have a closer relationship with him, right? And be more useful in his hands and in his arms. So I think this was Foster who said this, Carrie. He says, God has given us the disciplines of the spiritual life as a means of receiving his grace. The disciplines allow us to place ourselves before God so that he can then transform us. And what I also love about Foster is that he talks about the spiritual disciplines are not the answer, right? They're not the be-all and the end-all. Instead, they lead us to the answer, which is God, that transformational relationship and connection with him. They just open the door to his truth and his grace in our lives. So why, as Christians, do we engage in the spiritual disciplines?
I think that it's something that is in the Bible. It's biblical. It's something that Jesus did, something that we see the disciples doing. But underlying even deeper than that, I think that it's a way for us to throw off our connection to this world and allow God to be leading us and be our master. I always think it's interesting the way that when we prepare for these shows, things that we hear often kind of connect to what we're planning on. And like the sermon at our church on Sunday, he was talking about you can't serve the two masters. And and it really brought to mind the idea of the spiritual disciplines, and that we are so disciplined and trained to function in this world in a certain way. We're trained to get up at a certain time, to get to work. You're not going to miss getting to work at a certain time. You're not going to miss eating your lunch, eating your breakfast, different things like that. There's things that you're very disciplined at doing that you don't even think about.
It's kind of habit or ritual.
It is. You've got that habit. You know that if you want to watch your show at a certain time, you're going to be home
Well, now there's Netflix.
Not so much anymore. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you get your kids to bed at a certain time, you'd have this discipline, routine. Yeah, mm-hmm. A routine that you go through, and you're very disciplined at it. Most people have some sort of a routine. And I think that the disciplines, in a way, are reprogramming us to, instead of being disciplined by the world and following what that says is most important, we're right. being disciplined and letting our master be God,
right.
Number one, and following what he says is important.
Yeah, it's reprogramming and reconnecting.
It is.
And as a counselor, especially a Christian counselor, I am extremely interested in always thinking about how do people really grow, right? Like if someone comes into my office with depression or anxiety, sure, there's counseling techniques and things like that, but how do people really grow and begin to experience the freedom that Christ promises and offers in their life, right? And I keep coming, this is what I love about the disciplines, is that I keep coming back to this. Mm. And God, I just have that sense that God is saying, hey, right, like you learned about this in your mid-20s or whatever and got away from it. But this is how people begin to grow, right?
It's like living. This is how you grow. Go back to that.
This is how you grow. So, and again, as a counselor, I want to help people grow. And I'm integrating the disciplines into my own life and integrating them into my practice, you know, for those who come to see me, meet with them. Yeah, we're going to talk about doing these things that when you look at Scripture and followers of Christ, these are the things that they did. They prayed. They spent time in God's Word. They served. They fasted. Not that we have to be legalistic about it, right? But again, it's being connected and it's coming from a place of joy, right? And wanting that relationship, opening the door to God's grace and His truth to be free-flowing in our life. Jesus engaged in the disciplines Himself. You know, before calling His first disciples, He spent the whole night in prayer. And the pattern of practicing the spiritual disciplines is just well established in the Bible.
If you're just joining us, you're with Travis and Carrie Fry with the Connected Life Radio. If you'd like to learn more about Crossroads Counseling,
It's our ministry, right? Crossroads Counseling is my private practice. And if you want to learn more about that, you can call us at 623-680-3486. By the way, I like how we're not perfect. You know? And that,
you can advertise that. We are not perfect.
We're not perfect, yes. Right? Hey, so we don't have to be perfect either. So I just want to take a look at the spiritual disciplines. I mentioned Richard Foster in his book, Celebration of Discipline. Really, it's a classic. If you have not read that book, I would encourage you to do so. Dallas Willard, who wrote the book, The Spirit of the Disciplines, is another person that really has influenced really the Christian thought on spiritual disciplines. And so really this conversation today, we're borrowing a lot from Dallas Willard and Richard Foster. So just want to give credit where credit is due. Now, the disciplines are separated into two different categories. There's the inward disciplines, which are sometimes called the disciplines of abstinence, meaning that they are meant to make space for us to focus and connect with God. One of the very first disciplines, and we see in Scripture that Jesus engages in this discipline frequently, is solitude. What is solitude? Basically, it's the practice of being alone. And as I think about our culture, even our life, Carrie, like, how often do you... I get more alone time than you do.
Oh, yes.
Definitely admit that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I go off to work, and there might be maybe an hour or two where I'm not seeing anybody, right? But I'm alone. There's a difference between being alone and actually intentionally saying, all right, I'm in solitude, and I'm practicing this discipline right now, versus just kind of being alone, right?
Right.
Dallas Willard says that of all the disciplines of abstinence, solitude is generally the most fundamental in the beginning of the spiritual life, and it must be returned to again and again as that life develops. So we see that Jesus practiced solitude so that he could fellowship with the Father. Mm-hmm. If Jesus needed this time with the Father, the question that I have is, how much more do we need this time?
Yeah, I definitely have not been very good at practicing solitude. I can very rarely get away from, especially from the kids. So that would be interesting to get people's ideas on how, as a mother or a full-time parent, how are you supposed to get solitude?
And a full-time homeschool mom.
Full-time homeschool mom, yes.
Yeah. 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 One of the things that maybe Foster talked about was, you know, we talk a lot about finding time versus making time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just making it a priority. Of course, for you to be able to do something like that, your husband
would have to make it a priority.
Right.
So your husband, your fault.
Yeah. Yeah. I do work hard, though, to give you those times of solitude where you can get away and have some time for yourself to connect with God. So,
okay.
So it's time to be alone with God, and it's time to be found by him. You know, Jesus took time where he withdrew from the crowds. He separated from the disciples. I mean, he spent, what, was it 40 days, 40 nights out
yes.
in the wilderness,
yes.
right?
I thought it was interesting. We, you see, I don't know if anyone out there ever watches, is it Naked and Afraid?
Yes.
You see all these
Discovery Channel.
These different nature shows where people are doing survival and people talk about nature therapy or survival therapy and,
yeah.
and things how, oh, that's how I was healed from these different things. And you just hear kind of things going on, especially Discovery Channel here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Watch too much TV. But there's stuff out there where people are going out into the wilderness in order to heal themselves of depression and this and that. And it's talked about like, oh, this is a whole new thing. It's not, you know, it's in the Bible. Jesus did this. You know, there's all the people. Old Testament, you see it here and there. You see it in the New Testament. It's
right.
It's all over the place. It's been something. It's not a new idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's interesting. And even outside of the Judeo-Christian world, people realize that this is helpful.
Right.
A lot of these practices are used by everyone because they realize that it does work.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we see it right there in scripture, right?
Yeah.
We see Jesus practicing it too.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about silence? The discipline of silence?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So silence is basically listening to God. It goes together with solitude. Usually if you're practicing silence, you're also alone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically you're not speaking, trying to get into that quiet place in your heart and yourself where you can hear that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Dallas Willard says silence is frightening because it strips us of nothing, strips us as nothing else does, throwing us upon the stark realities of our life. Think what it says about the inward emptiness of our lives if we must always turn on a tape player or a radio to make sure something is happening around us.
Yeah. I know that I'm guilty of that, right? You wake up and even if it's just turning on the TV
mm-hmm.
and just having some background noise, right? There's something about that I think really distracts us from hearing God. Right. A lot of the solitude and silence is really to put us into a place where we can just listen, hear God, listen to what is going on inside of us. And so I know that a lot of us just we're not tuned in to God. We're not tuned into ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We're not tuned into others. We're constantly on the go, moving so fast. Right. And it's the to-do list. And I got to check this box and check this box. Certainly guilty of that. this is all about like just slowing life way down, getting into that place where you're in solitude, you're in silence, so that God can really begin to speak to you. I think he's probably speaking to us more often than we really realize it. Mm. All right. Go ahead.
I think that it's definitely temptation to fill that silence. When there's silence going on, you want to fill it fast. And often I think that when it's not filled in my life, my tendency is to go to worry fast.
Right.
If I'm not being very careful, I'll have nothing. If there's quiet, I'll suddenly start worrying and think, mm-hmm. okay, what's going on? What do I need to do? What do I need to get done? What do I have to plan on? What should I be doing right now? And just planning out my day, planning out all the things and worrying about what, oh, did I say this that offended someone else? And, you know, that's what comes first is the
right.
worry. And just trying to be mindful of turning that off
right.
and focusing more on thankfulness, the beauty in this world,
mm-hmm.
and observing. I like another thing that came up recently when we in the sermon at our church was about just being mindful of what is around us and what God is doing already.
Right.
What good is going on? And back at Biola, one of my favorite things that I learned that I took from a class on the Psalms was our teacher said that the ancient Israelites would guide their lives as if they were rowing a boat. And so if you're in a boat and you're rowing, you're facing backwards, but you pull the oars towards you and then you go
move forward.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but you're facing backwards. You don't see where you're going. And that's kind of the way that the Israelites worked. They would see their history, what God has done in the past, and that helped them guide where they're going to go in the future. That's what led them.
Yeah, so when those anxieties come up, right, and those worries come up, the fear comes up, you know, Jesus says, look at the birds and, you know, see how God is taking care of them and how much more do we mean to him than the birds do, right? And so it's really focusing in on the present moment and looking at all of the times where God has been faithful, just like he was to the Israelites, where he has seen you through challenges in your life and knowing that he's with you. So these two disciplines, solitude and silence, they really go hand in hand. And I like what you say, Carrie, that when we enter into a place of solitude and silence, when we're not distracted, oftentimes what comes up is all of the, you know, emotion or anxieties or feelings and, you know, all of these, you know, thoughts that we begin to experience. And, yeah, I think there's a process of working through that and really just being able to quiet the soul, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to dig deeper into the spiritual disciplines. We have a couple of minutes today. If this topic is something that you're interested in, then what you're going to want to do is tune in next week, same radio station, Family Values Radio, 1010 KXXT, at the same time, and we'll pick up on this conversation as we talk about other disciplines that you can engage in as a Christian that really allow God to minister his love and his grace and his truth to you. If you are interested in learning more about Crossroads Counseling, you can give us a call at 623-680-3486. That's 623-680-3486. You can visit us on the web at counselingphoenixscottsdale.com. That's counselingphoenixscottsdale.com. Or if you want to connect with us on the Connected Life Radio, go to facebook.com/The Connected Life Radio. And as always, get connected and stay connected, Arizona.